ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صلوات من عليك بعد الله. I'd like to begin with the tabrikat and best wishes on this event where we were celebrating the birth anniversary of a very important lady in our history, someone who is known as Sani Zahra, the second Zahra, someone who is known as Binti Ali. She is also known as Sharikatul Hussein. And most importantly, she is the beloved sister of Abbas. And that is Zainab bint Ali wa Fatima salawatullah alayhim ajma'een. I have begun with the four ayat from Surah Shams that we normally recite in Namaz-e-Eid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the importance of the soul of the human being. And I would like to actually talk about this concept with keeping Zainab bint Ali as a prime example for us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the value and the worth of the nafs of and the soul of the human being. Let me start with this issue that we have to realize what is the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the human beings. What is the level that we can attain and reach to on a spiritual level? When we look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the top of the pyramid of that creation, we have the insan. At the lowest level, you have what we call jamadat, inanimate, you know, entities, which do not grow. Then you have, on the second level, would be nabatat, the vegetation world. And then above that is the haywanat, which is the level of the animal world. And right at the top is the insan. In this process of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, but He left the creation of the human being to the end. And this is where he says, you know, he is Ahsanul Khaliqeen when he refers to the creation of the human beings. And so let us see, what is the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to human beings, to the insan? And that has everything to do with the soul of the human being and not the body of the human being. There are two dimensions. Almost all religions believe in this concept, that there is a physical dimension and a spiritual dimension. We also believe in that. There is jism and then there is ruh. Ruh has different ways of explaining at different levels, but when you use the term nafs, that's what it's referring to. And we can see that the importance of this nafs over the body of the human being has been highlighted right in the beginning of human history. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the malaika that I am going to create a human being and make him my khalifa, you know, Adam's body was composed and made. And it was there for a long time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says to the malaika, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ. Once I have finished, you know, forming and designing this body, when the body is complete, it is still not, you know, worthy of anything. But then he says, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ. When I have completed its, you know, creation, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And then I put into it, or breathe into it, my ruh. The word ruh has a ye at the end. Ruhi. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a ruh? If we believe in that, we become kafir. You know, Allah doesn't have a ruh or a body. A ruh is creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ. Oh Muhammad, they ask you about what is ruh, what is this soul? Say to them that it is min amr rabbi. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives the command, it comes.
to exist. So ruh and nafs is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, this body of Adam is still already there, complete. And when I put my ruh into it, then O malaika do sajda. This ruh is not ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes when we want to give importance to something, we say, well, think of him as myself. If he comes to you for help, consider that I have come to you for help. It's not that he is me and I become him. Just to show the importance of that person, I relate that person to myself. Here also Allah wants to show the importance of the ruh, and he is relating it to himself. He says, when I put my ruh into it, it's not Allah's ruh. He's just saying that it's so precious that I relate it to myself. And when I do that, O malaika, do the sajda. The sajda of malaika to Adam was not for the body of the Adam. It is not worth of that. The sajda done by malaika to Adam was because of the ruh and the nafs that Allah put in that body. Salawat wa rahmatullah. And so the soul of human being is the main, you know, entity as far as reality is concerned, as far as, you know, from the Islamic and Quranic point of view. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sham says, wa nafsim wa ma sawwaha. You know, after saying that by the sun and the moon and the heaven and the earth and the day and the night, all the signs that he says, you know, by the sun and by the moon, by the heavens, by the earth, by the day and the night, and by the soul of the human being. Then he says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done ilham. Ilham here means inspired it. Not in the same meaning of the ilham which is to the anbiya. Every soul of the human being has been inspired with the ability to know fujuraha wa taqwaha, what is evil for it and what is good for it. Means it has this ability of receiving and accepting the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the guidance is given, the potential in every human soul is there to know it and to accept it. And if there are any issues there, the issues are because of the barriers which have been created around that nafs. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes by saying, قَدْ عَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the person who keeps that nafs so, you know, purified. If you keep it pure, when the message comes, it will accept it and connect with it easily. But if it is tainted with sins, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, whoever lets it become corrupt, that person is a failure. And so this is where we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have given you this precious thing known as nafs. I have not created you as robots. I have shown you the way, and I would like you to walk on the right path by your own choice. That is the ultimate imtihan and test and trial for us. Salawat. But you know, people, because they have been given this freedom, this is where the ultimate test comes in. There are some, as I said in last Friday's khutbah, whose excess of their life is actually the lower desires only. And these are the people who actually don't rise above the level of the animals. Between them and the animals, there is no difference. Because the animals also live on the basis of what they eat and drink, procreation, and that's all. The shahwat is there, the ghazab is there, common things. Their motto in life for such people is basically eat, drink, and be merry. Actually, this is a quotation from the Old Testament. It is a biblical term here. You know, eat and drink and be merry. This is your life in this dunya. But then there is another group. قَدْ عَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا.
Who actually work on themselves, try to keep their soul, you know, purified. And these are what we call the people who have enlightened souls. And for them, the axis of their life is not the lower desires, but the higher faculties. You talk about aql, you talk about fahm, you talk about nafs, you talk about ruh, which is actually guided with the nur and the light of the revelation. So it's not only aql by itself, aql guided with the nur of revelation. And these are the people who have the potential of rising up to a level above the level of the malaika. We're not talking about, you know, jamadat, the inanimate level, and then the vegetation level, and then the animal level, and then the human level. This human being and this soul that he has the potential of elevating itself to a level even above the level of the malaika. This is the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Sometimes we do not even know the worth of ourselves. We don't even know the potential that Allah has given to us. It takes a whole life, you know, just to realize that, and then there is no time at the end. And this is more for the young people to think about it. We already passed the stage. People like me, we are already, you know, gone. That the potential is there to reach to the level above the level of the malaika. If you look at Surah Araf, Surah number 7, ayat 157, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet, more in relation to the Ahlul Kitab who were in Medina, where he says, you know him like your own sons. The description that I have given about this last Prophet in your books are so detailed and clear that you know him like your own sons. And in that ayah, then he goes on to say, what is his function? What is he going to do with this society? وَيَضَعُ عَنُهُمْ عِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. One of the reasons why the Prophet came was so that he would relieve them of the burdens of sin and the fetters of desires that are upon them. He will make them free. You know, free from this chains which is keeping them down as far as following their lower desires only. And this is one of the functions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat. There is a very beautiful saying by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Where he talks about this concept in his own way, and I actually was familiar and I used another, version of that statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but I couldn't find the sanad for that. But this is a version which is musnad, which all the chain of narration, and this is from Sheikh Saduq in Ilal al-Sharai, going all the way through his sanad to Abdullah bin Sinan, who said that one day I came to the sixth Imam and I asked him, Al-Malaika Afdal Am Banu Adam? He asked the sixth Imam, are the Malaika superior or are the children of Adam superior to Malaika? And the sixth Imam responds by saying, Qala Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, the sixth Imam quotes his great grandfather where he says, Inna Allah Azza wa Jalla rakkaba fil malaika aqlan bila shahwa. He says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the malaika, he created them such that they would only have aql, the power of reasoning, intelligence, bila shahwa, but they don't have any desires. They don't need to eat and drink. You know, many times these people of Makkah used to say to the Prophet, if Allah wanted to send a messenger, why didn't he send down in form of an angel? But the angel is not going to come down in your form. Even if he comes down as a messenger, he will not be a good,
you know, example for you, because he's not like you. Because they used to say to the prophet, what is it? He goes to the market, he eats and drinks like us. Well, this is the difference between malaika and human beings. Malaika don't have shahwa, don't have desire for anything. They only have aql. وَرَكَّبَ فِي الْبَهَائِمِ شَحْوَةً بِلَا عَقْلٍ. Then Ali says, and when he created the animals, he created them on the basis of this instincts of desires. They have not been given the power of reasoning and intelligence. And I use this example that, you know, if you look at the way the animals have their own dwellings, or the way they, you know, live their life, there's no city planning and neighborhood planning and thinking about, you know, whatever they were used to do 10,000 years ago, they do the same thing. There would be some changes because of the seasons and the environment, but otherwise there is no, they don't have, you know, discussion, brainstorming sessions, sitting down and saying, okay, what do we do? Even the bees, who are actually like a society of the human beings, the way they function, you know, 10,000 years ago and even now is the same thing. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. They just have these instincts, but they don't have the power of aql and reasoning. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen says, after talking about malaika and the animals, then he says, وَرَكَّبَ فِي بَنِي آدَمْ كِلَيْهُمَا. When it came to the Bani Adam, the children of Adam, human beings, Allah gave them both. Allah gave them aql as well as shahwa, the power of reasoning as well as the physical desires. Upper faculties, as we call it in ilm akhlaq, and the lower ones. Then he comes to the conclusion, فَمَنْ غَلَبَ أَقْلُهُ شَهْوَتُهُ. Whoever's aql, who means referring to the human beings, whoever's aql and his reasoning and, you know, intelligence overcomes the shahwat and the desires, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he's better than the malaika. Because the malaika don't have the obstacles. They don't have the challenges. وَمَنْ غَلَبَتْ شَهْوَتُهُ عَقْلَهُ. But on the other hand, if there is a human being whose desires overcome his power of reasoning and intelligence, فَهُوَ شَرٌ مِنَ الْبَهَائِمِ. He is worse than the animals. And this is where we see that, you know, Amir al-Mu'min is talking about the potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human beings to become even superior and a higher, you know, level, at the higher level than that of the malaika. Salawat. Surah Araf again, ayat 179. Just to connect this with this concept of Surah Shams and this statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about what will happen in the Akhirah. And he talks about those people who will go into Jahannam, where he says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Many jinn and human beings will go into Jahannam. This is what the Quran says. Don't tell me, because these days we hear this, oh, you know, Allah is not really concerned about putting people in Jahannam. Well, he says it. كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Many jinn and ins, he says, these are destined to go, they will go into Jahannam. Not because by force. He says he knows. He knows what they are going to do. I have given them the choice, but they have made wrong choice. Why? Why will they go into Jahannam? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Because they have qulub. Qulub is plural of qalb. Many times in common Arabic language it means heart. But in Quran, the word qalb mostly comes in the meaning of mind and intelligence and the power of reasoning. Uqul. Allah says that one of the reasons why they are going to go into Jahannam, because they have the power of reasoning, la yafqahuna biha, but they don't use it for understanding the reality. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have been given eyes, but then they don't see through it. What does it mean? Does it mean these people will be all those who are blind? No. Allah says, I have given them the ability to look at the realities and get some insight from it. You know, you have to use what you see, observe it, and learn a lesson from what you see. وَلَهُمْ أَعْضَانٌ لَا يَسْبَعُونَ بِهَا. Then Allah says, you know, they have ears, but they don't hear from it. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that these are the people who have been given the ability to process knowledge. How do we process, to acquire knowledge? By what we see, what we hear, how we read things, what we touch, all the five senses that we talk about. These are the tools that Allah has given for us to gather information. And then it is sent to our mind. That's where we process the information. This is where Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Once that information by the five senses goes to the mind, you process it, and you come to a conclusion at the end. That conclusion is known as ilm. Sometimes it is right, sometimes it's wrong. It depends on how you processed it. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have given this ability to the human beings, but not to the animals. And if we have people who have been given these faculties and they do not use it, Allah ends in this ayat by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْعَنْعَامِ. Such human beings are like cattle. They are like cow and sheep and camel. Then he goes even further. بَلْهُمْ عَضَلْ. They are worse than that. Because the poor cow didn't have anything. That's what it had. It used its own instinct only. It didn't have aql. You have been given this ability and you don't use it in the right way. Then you are worse than that. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These are the people who are heedless of the message and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat wa akbar. I hope the message is going through, or am I just talking to... Agar samajh mein aa raha to salawat padh dein zara. So the potential that human beings have because of their nafs and ruh is that they can ascend to a level higher than the level of the malaika. Now this is where the question comes up. This is the viladat of Bibi Zainab. Is this potential only for men? Or is this potential equally for women also? In Islam, when we talk about gender, gender is a physical dimension of human beings. You can divide people into male and female based on the physical dimension, not on the level of nafs and ruh and spirit. The soul of the human being cannot be divided into genders. The nafs and ruh, you can't say this is male or female. I have said it even before, sometimes in Arabic grammar actually, the word nafs is feminine. Grammatically, the word nafs, the soul, is feminine. So even the men have a feminine heart in there. The soul which is there, grammatically it is feminine. But in reality, it doesn't have any gender. And so when we talk about this nafs and the ability of the nafs or the potential that the nafs has, the soul of the human being to attain that highest level, there is no difference in the potential of man or woman. They are equally, you know, capable of attaining to that level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some of the ayat actually goes out of his normal way. Quran was revealed in a society, in a language where it was common, even now, that the words are expressed in one form only. You see, in Urdu and Farsi, or even Gujarati perhaps, there is not much distinction between male and female. I think when you use this word in Gujarati, tame, it's used for both genders? Or aap in Urdu, or shuma in Farsi. But in Arabic, when you say anta, that's for male. When you want to say you to a female, you say anti. There is a difference there. So the Arabic language has that, you know, richness in it. And most of the wordings would be, especially when they talk about the people in general, would be in masculine form. It doesn't mean nobody ever understands that only for male. The message is common. But the wordings are only mostly in masculine form. In some places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gone out of his way to emphasize this point that when it comes to the good deeds of the human beings, there is no difference between male and female. Where he says, you know, whoever comes with good deeds, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. There are actually three, four ayat of this kind. Whoever does good deeds, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, provided he is, again, the word huwa, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْسَى. Whoever does good deed from male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, provided they have iman. It's another whole story. وَأَمَلِ صَالِحِ, the validity depends, acceptance depends on iman. And all those ayat, he puts this condition. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْسَى, whoever does good deeds, a male or female, provided they are mu'min, you know, we will not waste their reward. And in one ayat, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Surah Ahzab, ayat number 35, talks about some of the good deeds, and he uses these words in both form, masculine and feminine, again and again and again, although that's not norm in Arabic. You know, the ayat, for example, says, Innal Muslimin wal Muslimat. Those who submit to Allah, men and the women who submit to Allah. Innal Muslimin would have been sufficient, but Allah wanted to emphasize, close the door of any ambiguity here, that no, it's not only Muslimin, even Muslimat, the Muslim women. Wal Mu'mineen wal Mu'minat. وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ, who are obedient to Allah, men and women. وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ, the truthful men and the truthful women. وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ, this, the men who have sabr and patience and the women who have that. وَالْخَاشِئِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ, and those who are humble towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the men and the women. وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ, those who give in charity, the men and the women who give in charity. وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, the men who do fasting and the women who do the fasting. وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, and the men who are chaste in their behavior and the women who are the same. وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, and the men who remember Allah often, and all the, and the women also who do the same thing. Then he comes to the conclusion, عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَعَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared for such men and women forgiveness and a great reward in the akhirah. Salawat. So this ayat actually is talking about that wherever fadilat is concerned, wherever good deeds are concerned, the potential of attaining higher levels, even through things like Islam and Iman and obedience and truthfulness and patience and humility and giving in charity and fasting and being chaste in your behavior and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the potential is same for the men and the women. And this is where we see that when we look at the example of Zainab bint Ali wa Fatima salawatullah alayhi majma'in, she indeed is the best example for us of a human being who attained the highest level, even above the level of the angels. There's no exaggeration here. Don't say I'm doing a ghulu and this and that. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen says. That you have the potential, and this is the example we have. Example of somebody who is not a Nabi. Example of somebody who is not an imam. Example of somebody who is not a man. example of somebody who is a woman and she is not a masuma like the 14 masumin. This is where we have to see. These are the examples that we have to keep in mind. That is the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to her. And it's not because of her physical strength or endurance. Yes, she was, you know, sabira. It's because that she always gave upper hand to her aql, reason, and intelligence over her emotions and desires. One of the famous titles that she has, she is known as Aqilatu Bani Hashim. What does the word Aqila mean? It's from aql. Many times we think this is Aqila is the feminine. Aqil, man, and Aqila is the female version of Aqil. No. The term Aqil is actually not just the feminine, you know, symbolic title for us, for Bibi Zainab. It's actually a superlative form of Aqil. So even a man can be called Aqila. The writer of Tafsir al-Mizan, what do we call him? Not his name, his title. Allama. Allama has a ta marbuta at the end. Allam and Allama. Does it mean Allam is the man and the Allama is the woman? Allama Tabataba is a man, come on. That Allama is talking about superlative form of ilm, the most learned. And so Aqila here is not a feminine form of Aqil. This is a superlative form of the term Aqil, an intelligent person. And the reason why she was known as Aqila to Bani Hashim, because she was the super intelligent lady of Banu Hashim. Salawat Banu Akbar. A lady who had given prominence to her aql, which had been touched with the inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the sayings and teachings of her grandfather, her mother, and his father, and her brothers. And that is where she attains that level. If you look at her speech extempore, without any preparation, in Kufa or Sham, or her conversation with Ibn Ziyad in Kufa. At all the moments there, you will see she was in total control of her emotions. She had complete mastery on the language. And even the selection of words and the ayat that she used in the khutbah, especially in Sham, this all reflects the purity of her thought. And all this can only happen when you always maintain this issue of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not zikr in the form of the tasbih that we recite, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Al-Zakirin, Allah kathiran wal-Zakirat. Their zikr actually means to keep Allah always in your mind and your heart at all moments of happiness or sadness, when you are successful or where you're going through difficulties. In whatever situation you are, at whatever time you are, if you have this consciousness of Allah's being in your life, then you are actually doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the level that Bibi Zainab attained because of that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon Allah. To become Aqila of Banu Hashim, this was not a hereditary issue. Yes, an environment has an impact, no doubt about it. But you cannot say that this is only because she has this genes coming from, you know, the ancestors. No. It's actually a result of this constant zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we start keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our minds at all the time, things happen that we cannot even think about it. You know, again, I'm talking about the potential that each one of as his. And this is where I would like to go back to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wa salam. When he says, إن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الذكر جلاء للقلوب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to him, he says, he has made zikr, this remembrance of Allah all the time, jala'an lil-qulub. Jala means the means of making something shining or to sharpen something. You know, when you have a metal which was rusting, you know, you clear it, and this is where we call, you know, sayqal. You know, I think in Urdu we say it. And this is where you basically make it again, you know, shining. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that when you have the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your nafs becomes, you know, the rust is removed from it. It attains this shining and the light again. And when that happens, what happens? When the hearts become enlightened, what happens at that time? He uses interesting ways of describing. He says, تَسْمَعُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْوَقْرَ. He says, your heart or your soul is able to hear after it was deaf. And it is able to now see after it was blind. And now it is able to submit to the commands of Allah while it was rebellious before. Ajib. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, and then he says that there are moments when there are no anbiya, especially when there is a gap between one nabi and other nabi, in situations where there are no anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا بَرِحَ لِلَّهِ فِي الْبُرْحَ بَعْدَ الْبُرْحَ وَفِي أَذْمَانِ الْفَطَرَاتِ عِبَادٌ. He has certain, you know, servants all the time. What does he do with them? نَاجَاهُمْ فِي فُكْرِهِمْ. He whispers to them in their thoughts. وَكَلِّمُهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ أُقُولِهِمْ. And he speaks to them in their pure minds. And when that happens, they become enlightened. And they enlighten themselves and others with the light of consciousness in their eyes and in their ears and in their minds. Remember the words from that Surah Araf where Allah says that some people will go into Jahannam because they don't use their mind, they don't use their eyes, they don't use their ears. If you have that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided to us can attain a level that we do not even, you know, understand it. People are able to comprehend things which others will not be able to, you know, understand. And you reach to a different level of, you know, understanding and consciousness. Basically, you will be opening up your inner faculties to the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where you will attain the level higher than the level of the malaika. Salawat. And so the basis of the power of and the strength of Zainab was this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lady who lost 18 members of her family in a brutal manner in one day. A lady who is made captive. A lady with her other family members is paraded in the cities, especially in the city where her father was the Khalifa one day. And yet, she maintains her composure, controls her emotions, and has this strength to stand up and speak to the people in Kufa in such a way that the masses are mesmerized with her speech. You know, how does it happen? If you look at the reaction of the people in Kufa, especially Bashir al-Assadi says, at the end of the khutbah of Bibi Zainab, where he was crying, and he says, "Bi abi wa ummi," may my parents be, you know, ransom and sacrifice for you. Kuhuluhum khayru kuhul. Referring to Zainab and her family, he says, you know, the old people in this family are the best among the elderly ones. Wa nisa'uhum khayru nisa. The women of this family are the best of the women. Wa shababuhum khayru shabab. And the youths of this family are the best of the youths. Wa nasluhum naslun kareem. And their generation is the noble generation. Wa fadluhum fadlun azim. And their excellence is a great excellence that Allah has given to them. Salawat. Even our sixth imam, you know, at the end of that khutbah of Bibi Zainab, what does he say to his aunt? Well, he says, "Anti bihamdillah," that you are, O my aunt, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these wordings. Every word of the imam is important. "Anti bihamdillah," with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are عَالِمَةٌ غَيْرَ مُعَلَّمَةٌ. You are a learned person who has not been taught by others. وَفَحْمَةٌ غَيْرَ مُفَحَّمَةٌ. And you have the ability to understand without somebody else explaining things to you. Where did this come from? It's not a human source. This is the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that Allah, you know, najahum fi uqulihim. Allah talks to such people in the depth of their thoughts. And the one supreme example that we have of Zainab bint Ali wa Fatima salawatullah alayha ajma'in. Karbala ke baad Kufa mein jo Bibi Zainab ne khutba diya hai, شیخ مفید کی روایت ہے کتاب اعمالی میں, by the person who was there, he actually gives the even the year that he was there in Kufa, Hazlam bin Satir, after the events of Karbala, جو وہاں کہتا ہے رأيت زینب بنت علی ولم أرى خفرة قط أنطق منها. I haven't given the translation of this in English, so I'll repeat that. کہ ہم نے ایسی باحیا خاتون کو نہیں دیکھا ہے کہ جو اس سے زیادہ فصیح اور بلیغ ہو اپنے بیان میں. I haven't seen any modest woman who maintains her haya while she is so eloquent the way Zainab I saw on that day. كأنها تفرغ عن لسان امیر المؤمنین. لگتا ہے کہ یہ زینب نہیں بول رہی ہے بلکہ علی بول رہے ہیں. It seems that it's not Zainab. If you close your eyes, it looks like these are the words coming from Amirul Mu'mineen. اور اس کے بعد وہ کہتا ہے وَقَدْ أَوْمَعَتْ إِلَى النَّاسَ نَسْكُتُ. وہ جو خطبہ دیا ہے بقول حزلم بن سطیر کے, کہ بی بی نے مجمع کی طرف اشارہ کیا, to be quiet. And everybody was quiet. Sab log khamosh ho gaye. She was not commander of the army there. Wo qaidi thi. Aur jis situation mein qaidi thi, aapko manazir maloom hai, sunte rehte hain muharram. Lekin uske bawajood bhi ek ishara kiya public pe, fartaddat al-anfas wa sakatat al-aswat. Laga jaise logon ki jo یہ نفس جو ہے نا, سانس لوگوں کی رک گئی, آواز بالکل خاموش ہو گئی. This was the power that Allah has given to her. Just an indication of her hand. You know, they were at least as if they were so, you know, still, not even breathing. And there was nobody saying anything. It was total silence. And that's where she gives the khutbah. ہمارے کچھ علماء ایک عجیب تبصرہ کرتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں یہ جو اشارہ تھا یہ خود ایک مظہر ہے وہ ولایت جو خدا نے زینب کو دی ہے کہ اس مرحلے میں اگر کوئی بولنا بھی چاہتا تو بول نہیں سکتا تھا. یہ جو ولایت ہے جو خداوند عالم نے دی ہے, ولایت کا ایک مظہر ہے, یہ صرف معصومین کے لیے نہیں ہے. اس لیے کہ زینب وہ مقام بھی پہنچی ہیں ذکر الہی کی کہ خداوند عالم نے بھی ان کو یہ صلاحیت اور یہ ولایت دی ہے. صلوات پڑھ دیں ایک بار. ان میں کچھ اشعار ہیں شہید محسن نقوی کے جناب زینب کے سلسلے میں کہ عجب مسیحا مزاج خاتون تھی کہ لفظوں کے کیمیا سے حسینیت کو بھی سانس لینا سکھا گئی ہے علی کی بیٹی. حسینیت مر چکی تھی, دفن ہو چکی تھی کربلا میں, دوبارہ جو ریوائیو ہوئی ہے زینب کے ذریعے. بھٹک رہا تھا دماغ انسانیت جہالت کی تیرگی میں, جہنم کے اندھے بشر کو رستہ دکھا گئی علی کی بیٹی. اپنے مثال کے ذریعے کہ کس طرح سے عقل کو اپنے ہوا و حوس پر غلبہ دو, زینب نے در حقیقت انسانوں کو جہنم سے بچایا ہے. نبی کا دین اب ثمر سور کے یہ بات تسلیم کر رہا ہے, اجڑ کے بھی انبیاء کے وعدے نبھا گئی ہے علی کی بیٹی. سب کچھ ہونے کے باوجود جتنے مظالم ہوئے ہیں لیکن زینب کا کنٹریبیوشن ہے. نہ کوئی لشکر نہ سر پہ چادر, مگر نہ جانے ہوا میں کیوں کر غرور ظلم و ستم کے پرزے اڑا گئی ہے علی کی بیٹی. یقین نہ آئے تو کوفہ و شام کی فضاؤں سے پوچھ لینا, یزیدیت کے نقوش سارے مٹا گئی ہے علی کی بیٹی. صلوات پڑھ دیں. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے, خداوند اس قلیل بار قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہمیں صلاحیت دے کہ ہم لو صحیح معنوں میں محمد آل محمد کی سیرت کو سمجھ سکیں, ان کی عظمت کو سمجھ سکیں اور ان کے اسوہ حسنہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق دے. خداوند جہاں جہاں بھی شیعان علی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کی صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.